Mohand and Kolal, Shir on 6th of March 2005, Kaf Hei Adar Rishon Tavshin Samach Hei, Shir on Tehillim Perek Beis.
Good. I think what we'll do first of all is just to run through the whole chapter. The translation is complicated. We'll just run through the whole chapter in one go, then we'll go back over it in detail. Lama Rokshigayim, just go through the chapter just for the translation. Lama Rokshigayim, why do the nations gather together? Ulu Umim Yehugurik, and nations, in other words, Ulu Umim also means nations, and nations discuss rubbish. Why do the nations get together and discuss rubbish? Yis Yatsu. How's it coming?
United Nations.
Oh. It means talking against Klal Yisrael.
Yes, Yatsu Malchi Eretz.
Kings of the land or kings of the world stand up, stand firmly. Veroznim and advisors, most of Yachad, consult each other together. It also means an expression of discussing secrets. Al Hashem, what do they all discuss? What are all the nations getting together to discuss? Al Hashem against God, for Al Mashiach and against his Mashiach, against his anointed one, i.e. David HaMelech. And what are they saying? They're saying, Nanatka es Mosreseno, let us snap their cords, strings or ropes. Venashlicha mimenu avosemo, and let us throw off from them their ropes. What are these ropes all about? These ropes, i.e. the ropes that connect Klal Yisrael to David HaMelech, or the ropes that connect Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the nations as well, they get together and what are they discussing? Let's snap this connection. Yoshev HaShemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who lives in heaven, Yitzchok, he'll laugh about this. He thinks it's all a big joke. Hashem Yilag Lomo, Hashem laughs at them, or mocks them. Oz Yadaber Eilemo V'Apo, then he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will speak to them, V'Apo, with his anger. Uvacharono, another expression of anger, and with his anger, Yivahalemo, he will terrify them. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bothered, you know, all the nations get together and discuss how they're going to overthrow Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks this is all a huge joke, and he's not in the slightest bit bothered by it. Says David, Va'ani nasachti malki, but I, says Hashem, I have anointed my king, i.e. David HaMelech, al Tzion HaKadshi, over Tzion, that's Yerushalayim HaKadshi, the mountain of my holiness. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not bothered about what the nations are up to, I have appointed David and he's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So now, that is all a quotation what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but now David himself takes over. Asapra el chok, I will speak el chok, let's see, according to the law, we'll come back to all these difficult expressions, I will make a point of saying, Hashem, that what? That Hashem, Omar Eli, that Hashem has said to me, B'niyata, you are my son. Others, I, says David, I will make a point of saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed me. Ani hayom yuladeticha, I have given birth to you today. That is what David says, quoting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem has appointed me, and he's like my father, as though he's given birth to me today. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Sha'al mimeni, ask of me, ve'et no geim nachlosecha, and I will give nations to you as your inheritance, ba'achuzascha, and as your possessions, aseiretz, and I'll give all the corners of the world to you as your possession. Says David, so in other words, we're not bothered, the nations are kicking up a fuss against Klal Yisrael, and we're just not bothered. Teroim b'shevet barzel, you will smash them with your stick of, what's barzel? Iron, thank you, of iron. In other words, a sword, Rashi translates that as a sword, and you will defeat the nations. And kechli yotzit anapsim, and you will scatter them like a piece of pottery. Kechli yotzit, so don't worry about all the nations of the world, you're going to just conquer over all of them eventually. And now David addresses the non-Jewish kings. Va'ata, and now, Malachim, kings, addressing the non-Jewish kings. Haskilu, be wise, take my advice. Hivosru shoftei oretz, take control of yourselves, O judges of the world. And here's David now addressing the nations of the world and the kings of the world, trying to make them into Baalei Teshuvah. Ivdu es Hashem b'yira, serve Hashem with fear. V'gilu b'ra'odah, and rejoice with trembling. In other words, you will, you'll, if you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you do the right thing, you'll be okay. Nashku var, embrace purity. Var means purity. Pen yet enough, lest, if you don't, pen, otherwise, yet enough, Hashem will become angry. Vesuvdu derech, and your way will be destroyed. You'll self-destruct. Ki yivar kimat apo, for his anger may be kindled for just a moment. Kimat, for just a moment. So if you don't pull your socks up, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get very angry with you, and then you'll be finished. However, if you do keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and his instructions, then Asher Kol Chosevo, the praises of all those who trust in him will be known. Very complicated translation. That in itself is a marathon job to get through the translation. Asher Kol Chosevo, all those who trust in him, that's Chosevo, Asher, their praises will be known. Alternatively, you could translate the word Ashrei as happy, and those who trust in him will be happy. So that's the whole chapter. So to sum it up, what's the chapter saying? That the nations of the world all club together against Klal Yisrael, and they're all having a go at Klal Yisrael, and Hashem thinks it's all a big joke, and he's not in the slightest bit bothered about what the nations get up to, and he reassures David that you are my king, and don't be worried about what the nations get up to. And I'm going to help you conquer all the nations. And then David addresses the nations himself and says, if you all keep to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah and you keep to what you want, for what you're needed to keep, i.e. Hashem Etzes B'nei Noach, and you're good human beings, then don't worry, you'll be safe. Otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get his anger upon you. That's the chapter in a nutshell.
What did you say to David? It doesn't say
David, it says his name isn't in there. No, that's right. But he refers to himself as Moshiach in Pasuk Beis Al Mashiach, because he was anointed to become the king, and he is in fact referring to himself. There is a difference of opinion as to who wrote this chapter. Most seem to say it was David. The Meiri says it could have been someone else writing about David and David's dynasty. But it is definitely a reference to David, even if it doesn't have David's name in it. What exactly is the chapter talking about?
No, yeah. I just want to point out there's these things where it says that Beniata. I don't like that.
It's conceited.
It's like, you know, going to get.
I know. Absolutely. The Christians got it on this chapter.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure they get it.
We'll come to that. Yeah. Oh, Nashkivah. Yeah.
Yeah. They can build a town of this, couldn't they?
They do, and they do. This is one of their big chapters.
I would give them that. No, no. Oh, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
The things they get up, excuse me, but if you look on the computer, like Talmud, so you get excellent articles, and after you've been going a couple of minutes, suddenly Jesus appears.
Yeah, of course.
Everything seems good and kosher so far, and then in front of them.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure, yeah.
That's how they use everything.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. We'll have a go. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Sukkah, the beginning of Sukkah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph and Gimel Amud Beis, says that this chapter is all about the final war, which will lead to Moshiach's arrival. The war that Chazal referred to as the war of Gog and Magog, and I know nothing about it other than it's a posuk somewhere in Yeheskel, and it's Haftarah, thinking of a Sukkah. And Gog is apparently the king of the country called Magog, and they will wage war along with all the other leaders of the world against Klal Yisrael, and that will be the final showdown. Rishayim, including I believe Jewish Rishayim, will be killed off in that war, and that will lead to Mashiach as Klal Yisrael, those who... Yeah, it's happened. I don't remember a time in history when that hasn't happened. That's halacha yedua is a semeliyakov. Okay, that's how the Gemara puts it. The Mefarshim on the pasuk, the Rishonim, that's Rashi and I can't remember other Rishonim. Many other Rishonim all say that this pasuk is a reference to the time immediately after David became king. And that David wrote this chapter, according to these Rishonim, David wrote the chapter, referring to the time very shortly after he himself was crowned king. There was a period in history where he wasn't fully accepted over Klal Yisrael, right? 7 years in Hebron,
right.
Yeah, 7 years in Hebron. But after that time, once his kingdom became fully established, then the Pelishtim all gathered together. What are we going to do about this man, David? He killed our hero Goliath, and now he's taking over the Jews. We're going to go for him. And the Pelishtim clubbed together and they waged war on Klal Yisrael against David. And David defeated them roundly. And that this chapter is a reference to that period of history when the non-Jews, particularly the Pelishtim, all clubbed together to fight against David, and David managed to defeat them. And that's the idea of the non-Jews all getting together to discuss what we're going to do about the Jewish problem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks it's all a huge joke, and he's not in the slightest bit bothered about them, and of course, eventually, David and the Jews defeat the Pelishtim. Okay. One interesting point is brought by the Meiri and also by the Radak, that you can see from this chapter and from the next chapter, just look at the that's the chapter 3 is all about David's reference to the to when Avshalom caused his rebellion against his father, against David, that says the Radak and the Meiri, the chapters of Tehillim are not written in chronological sequence. Because this chapter base is talking about shortly after David became king. Chapter Gimel is all about the Avshalom's rebellion, which is apparently took place when David was 65 years old. Long after he became king. Yeah, I didn't realize that. So David died at the age of 70. I didn't realize how close it was to David's own death. So that's when Avshalom created his rebellion. And of course, many chapters afterwards refer to periods of history long before that time. So Tehillim is not written al Haseda. There's no chronological sequence to Tehillim. That point is brought by the Meiri. I'll give my son a mention here. My son Yaakov Chaim, who's an absolute champion of my cause, and he says to me, "Daddy, don't forget to look at the Meiri." You know, and I didn't even know I had a Meiri on Tehillim. When I did the shiur on Perek Aleph, he pulled the Meiri off the shelf. He knows my son better. He says, "Look, Daddy, you got Meiri on Tehillim," and he pulled it off the shelf. "Daddy, don't forget to look at the Meiri." So, thank you, Yaakov Chaim. There, yeah, it's on tape. Right. Okay, let's go through the chapter, pasuk by pasuk, and we'll see what the Mepharshim say. Lama Rog Shigoyim, why do the nations get together? Ulu Umim, and the peoples, Yehu Gerik, speak rubbish. Rik, empty rubbish. Vahabo Rik, Imbe Moim, Rik means empty, or Rik is rubbish. So the first interesting point is, what does this word Rogshu actually mean? And there's a bit of a machlokus about it. Rogshu, most Russian translate Rogshu as getting together. The nations all get together. The Medrash, that's the Medrash Shecher Tov, which is a Medrash specifically on Tehillim, which unfortunately I hardly managed to look at. But one piece of Medrash says that it means excitement. They all get together with animation. What's a similar idea? Feeling, of course. Regesh, yeah, sensation, excitement, they all get excited, that's it. So Lama Rosh Hashanah, why do the nations all get excited, or get together to get excited against the Jews? Ulu Umim, and peoples, Yehegu, Rik, speaking rubbish. Next machlok is on the word Yehegu. Rashi says that Yehegu means thinking. Like we say, it was a pasuk in the beginning of Yeshua, over Sarosso, Yehege, Yomavalola, that's the beginning of Yeshua. Yeah. So to think, to contemplate, or to think, whereas the Ibn Ezra says no, it's speaking. It's to speak rubbish. So Ibn Machlok is there, Rashi learns it, to think about the Jews, and Ibn Ezra to talk about the Jews. Obviously it comes to the same thing, but just a technical difference there. The Malbim, always such a pirush, where he's medayek every word, and he'll tell you the differences between words that are almost identical, but not quite the same. Says the Malbim, what's the difference between Bim and Lu'umim? They both mean nations. So the Malbim comes up trumps, as always, and he says the word Goyim means nations who are geographical neighbours, close together. Whereas Lu'umim means people who are ideological neighbours. Ah, right? So we might be neighbours, let's say we're geographically fairly close to France, but we have our differences, right? So we might be Goyim with France, Britain and France, because there's not much between us. It's just a small bit of a small puddle, right? But the whereas ideologically we might be poles apart. So that's the idea. Says the Malbim. That's why the Pasuk says Lama Rogshu Goyim. Rogshu goes with Goyim. Goyim means geographical neighbours. Rogshu means they get together. If you're close geographically, then you can get together geographically. Whereas Lu'umim, who are not necessarily geographical neighbours, but they are ideological neighbours, it's Yigurik, they speak together. Yeah? They speak together, they discuss ideas, or they think similarly, ideologically neighbours. That's the Malbim. Oh, Malbim had a Madaic every word, you know? Yeah. That's Umes Ha'olam. Yeah, one, I saw one of the Rishonim says that all, all these words, Goyim, Le'umim, and Amim, and Umim, or Umar, are all similar words. Well, we know that they all mean a nation or a people, but the Malbim goes into the exact differences between them. Interesting point brought by the Me'iri and also by the Radak, that that's on the, we'll do that on the next. that's on the next pasuk. Let's move on. Pasuk base. Yisyatzvu Malchei Eretz. The nations of the kings of the world stand firmly to discuss against the Jews. Veroznim and advisors Nostu Yochad take counsel together. They discuss them together against Hashem, the Amishichan, against His Anointed One. So, first thing to note is that the word Malchei Eretz, the kings of the land, and we said that the Rishon would say that this chapter is all about when David first became king and the Pelishtim waged war against him. So, interesting point is that the Pelishtim are not described as having Malachim. The Me'iri and the Radak say, look through the Tanakh and you won't find that the Pelishtim... Sirene Pelishtim! That's it, Sirene. The Me'iri says Sirene, which means like the officers of the Pelishtim, but not kings. So the Me'iri and the Radak give different answers. The Me'iri says it's an expression of Gaiva. They were not kings, they were Sirene Pelishtim, or Saronim, they were officers, but they viewed themselves as kings. So Malchei Eretz, in their own eyes, they viewed themselves as kings. That's how the Me'iri explains it. Chieftains, exactly, yeah. Whereas the Radak says that, yes, they were only officers, but they clubbed together with other countries, and the countries had kings. So that's why the Sposik refers to Malchei Eretz. Avimelech, Melech Pelishtim, yeah, it does say, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe it's only Avimelech. Because he goes back to the time of Avraham,
yeah, sure.
but maybe at the time of David, who did? David? Yeah, and he's called a Melech. Oh well, I don't know. Yes, that's right. Who's the other king?
Avimelech
is described as King David. Yes, that's it. Yeah, he sought refuge with Avimelech. Yeah. Well, I don't know, but they say that it's rare that we find a Lashon of Melech. Maybe it's Sirene rather than Melech. That's how the Me'iri and the Radak explain it. Yeah, could be. There's one team. Yeah, one band. Could be. Yeah. Next machlokes, interesting machlokes, is to what this word nostu means. Nostu yochad. So Rashi says that the word nostu comes from the root samach vav dalad, and it means secret. So it is a secret. And nostu yochad, they're discussing secrets together. Whereas the Radak says, no, it comes from the root yud samach dalad, which means a foundation. They're discussing like very important matters. So it's foundation. Yesod, a foundation. So machlokes there, how to explain it. According to Rashi, I saw in the art school, say from Tehillim, the English explanations there. He says that if we take Rashi's pshat that nostu is an expression of sod, the secret, then it goes very nicely with the word veroznim. Because Rosnim is an expression of officers, but it's linked to the word Roz, which also means a secret, or a hint, or a secret. That's he brings that. I don't know in whose name he brings it. The Malbim points out that whenever there's a rebellion or a war, it can come from one of two sources. Sometimes the king can lead the rebellion, and the people will follow the king. Sometimes the people can lead the rebellion, and the king will say, "All right, the people want this, I'll go along with it." the king goes on with it. So he points out that this war, led by the non-Jews against the Jews, it comes from both sources. Why? Because Pasuk Aleph uses Goyim, Rog Shegoyim, that's the people, the nations. Whereas Pasuk Bey speaks about Malchei Eretz, the kings are behind it. So the who wants to lead this rebellion? Is it the people or is it the king? It's both. The Malbim says it comes from both sources. Interesting expression there is Yisyatzvu, the kings stand up. They have to stand in order to fight against Klal Yisrael. They need to make a stand, which is an expression of power. Whereas, if you look ahead into Pasuk Dalet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Bashamayim. He simply sits. He can sit back and take it easy. He's not bothered by the nations. And I can't remember where I saw this, but I saw it today. Let's move on. What are the nations all saying against us? Nanatka es Moser Seimo. Let us snap, let us cut their cords, their ropes. V'nashlicha mimenu, and let us throw off from us, or maybe it's from them, probably, from them, avosemo, their ropes. The two different words for ropes. Mosera is a rope, and avos is a rope, or avos is a rope. Two different expressions of rope. What are these ropes? These ropes are the ropes that tie us, link us to David HaMelech, that link us to the Malchus, that make the Klal Yisrael subjugated to their Melucha, subjugated to their kings, and the non-Jewish nations are trying to break that connection, to sever the relationship between the Malchus of Klal Yisrael and the people of Klal Yisrael. Rashi says that the Mosera, what type of rope is this? These are the ropes that are used to tie an ox to the yoke. The ox pulls the plow, and the plow is connected to the yoke, and the yoke is connected to the ox by ropes, and those ropes are called mosera. Whereas a thicker type of rope is the avos. And the Malbim, again, the Malbim coming up trumps here to explain the difference between these two types of ropes, mosera and avos. Says the Malbim, avos is a much thicker rope, and he says it's a rope which is made up of three strands. And because it's so thick, you can't snap it very easily. The avos is thicker. And and he points out that the pasuk speaking about the hadassim describes the hadassim as anaf its avos. And av means thick. But av he'onon, a thick cloud. Avos means thick. So Chazal say, what type of vegetable, or what type of foliage rather, what type of foliage is this anaf its avos? It's the leaves that grow thickly. And you need three. In Ovis, I've quoted it, in Ovis Pachos Mishlosha. Ovis means a minimum of three. And of course the Hadassim grow in three leaves, all three leaves growing together at each level on the stem. At least they should do. If you've got a really good super quality Hadassim, that's what they'll do, all three growing on one level. So the Ovis is a much thicker type of rope than the Mosera rope. Says the Malbim, look carefully at the Pasuk. Nanatka is Mosesemo. The rope, the Mosera rope is thin, or is thin enough that it can be snapped. But the other type of rope, the Ovos rope, v'nashlicha mimenu, that's too thick to break. You can't break that. Therefore, nashlicha, the best you can do is to simply throw it off and to somehow dislodge it from its position. But you can't actually snap it. That's how the Malbim knows shut. Now, big piece of Gemara in Sukkah about this pasuk. The Gemara explains that this pasuk, the whole chapter is talking about Melchemes Gog and Magog, Klal Yisrael suffering against the non-Jews just before the arrival of Mashiach, and he says there that the Gemara explains that at that time the non-Jews will see that the Jews they're riding on a crest of a wave. The Jews lead a high life, and therefore they try to become Gerim. However, we don't accept Gerim at that time. The Gerim were not accepted neither at the time of David, nor at the time of Shlomo, nor will they be accepted after Mashiach's arrival. So what will happen? Many of the non-Jews will attempt to become Gerim at that later stage in history, but we won't accept them. So what will they do? They become Gerim Gerurim. This is the expression of the Gemara. Gerim Gerurim means they'll lead the life of a Jew. They won't be accepted by us as Jews, but they will. They'll take on various mitzvahs. They'll put on their tefillin. They'll put on their tzitzis, and they'll put a mezuzah on the door, and they'll build a sukkah. The Gemara discusses that's how it comes at the beginning of sukkah. That the non-Jews will adopt the mitzvah of sukkah at that time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will test them. We'll see: are you really genuine or not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, Sukkot comes towards the end of Tekufas Tammuz, the hot summer months, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make the sun shine really brightly. And the non-Jews will kick their sukkahs down in disgust. And the Gemara says, well, if the sun shines brightly, then Jews are also potter from a sukkah. If you're, it's not a problem we have here, but it's a problem sometimes in Eretz Yisrael. At sukkahs time, it's too hot to sit on the sukkah. We put heaters in our sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. Lots of people have told me they put their air conditioning into their sukkah, or fans. And the so if a person is mitzta'er, it's potter from sitting in the sukkah if it's too hot. So the Gemara says, yeah, we'll be potter from sukkah, and we'll leave the sukkah, but we won't kick it down. But the non-Jews, their geirus is not 100% genuine, and the simon is that they'll smash down their sukkahs. Likewise, and this is all to do with nanatka es moshe seimo, they'll make a snap, they'll break off connections with the religion. And they'll take off, and they'll hurriedly snap off their tefillin that they put on, and the tzitzis that they put on, and the mezuzahs they put on their doors. They'll rip all these things off. That's how the Gemara puts it. They'll rip off their tefillin, they'll rip off their tzitzis, and they'll rip off their
mezuzahs.
Thank you.
Sukkahs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Short a whip of something.
Of course. Why have I brought another sukkah here? I brought the wrong Gemara. It is. Thank you. Of course, Avodah Zarah. Thank you. Thank you. Avodah Zarah. Daf Gimel. Shkach. I brought the wrong Gemara. Thank you. Yeah. Shkach. Avodah Zarah Gimel Amud Aleph. That's it. Thank you. Avodah Zarah Gimel Amud Aleph and Gimel Amud Beis. Oh. Very interesting point. A beautiful point is brought by the art scroll on this pasuk, quoting this Gemara, that they'll put on. And because I brought the wrong Gemara, I can't give you the lot. I can't give you the lot. No, I won't bother. The Gemara says that they'll put on the when they try to become they try to lead the life of a Jew. What will they do? They'll put on tefillin shalrosh and tefillin shalyad and tzitzis and mezuzah. So the art scroll points out something which is so obvious. They'll put on tefillin shalrosh and tefillin shalyad. It's the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Huh? Why tefillin shalrosh first? Why are they doing that? If they really want to become Jews, so. Why they get it the wrong way around? So he brings a beautiful idea there, and he doesn't say in whose name. I suspect it's the name, the person who put together that sefer, a man called Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuer. It's probably his own idea, but it's a terrific idea. He says the tefillin and shalyad represent maisa, action, hand. The tefillin and shalrosh represent machshava, thought in the brain. We Jews, we put on the shalyad before the shalrosh because of naseh first and then nishma. We accept even if we don't fully understand. The non-Jews at that time, they'll put on the tefillin and shalrosh first because they're only prepared to accept mitzvahs that they can comprehend. Their brain comes before the hand. We say, no, we'll accept everything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu whether you understand it or not. Naseh and then nishma. And therefore to the shalyad and then to the shalrosh. They will only accept things, they'll only do the mitzvahs they can comprehend logically, the only thing they can rationalize. So they'll put on the Tumish and then the Tumish Eliyab. That's a terrific idea, no? Oh. Pasuk Dalit. Yeshev Hashemayim Yischak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting in heaven. He'll laugh. He thinks it's all a huge joke what the non-Jews are attempting. Hashem Yilag Lomo. Hashem will mock them. So Rashi points out that the word Yilag and Yischak are both in the future tense. Literally, he will laugh, he will mock. But it really means very often we find the future tense representing a continuous state. And Rashi says it's really an expression of hover, lashon hover. It's almost like a present tense, even though it's technically in the future tense. Very often you find words in the future tense representing continuous things. Ibn Ezra points out this idea that I mentioned a moment ago. Yoshev Bashemayim, Hashem sits in heaven. Take it easy, all the non-Jews. Yisyatzu malchei eretz, as in that pasuk base. Yes, Yisyatsu, they need to stand. To kick up a fuss, they've got to stand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits back and take it easy. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns. Sits back, is not bothered about it. And the Masudas David points out that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'Shamayim, in heaven, if you're on a higher altitude, whichever enemy has got higher ground have a big advantage of looking down upon their enemy and being able to fight against their enemy. If you're on a higher ground, you stand a better chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'Shamayim. So it says even if the weaker is on high, he's got higher ground, he's got a big advantage, even if he happens to be weaker. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stronger to begin with, of course, and he's B'Shamayim, so he's got the double advantage. That's the shot brought by the Mitzvah of David. The Rambam, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Aleph, right at the end of the Perek Aleph, he speaks about the non-corporeality, have I said that correctly, the non-corporeality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has no guf, he has no emotions, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he doesn't think, nothing that we human beings do. Yet, all the time we refer, we have this, what's that word? Anthropomorphism.
Yes.
Wow. It's a miracle I said that. So the Rambam then, Hilchos Sefer Torah, speaks about the way we describe HaKadosh with human attributes, Yada Hazaka, and so on and so forth. And one of the pasukim he quotes there, he quotes about six pasukim, and one of them is this pasuk, Yeshev Hashemayim Yischok. He quotes about Hashem laughs. Of course he doesn't laugh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't laugh, he hasn't got a voice, he doesn't laugh. But it's an anthropomorphism where we attribute these human characteristics to HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply derech mashal. It helps us to understand him better. He quotes a few psukim, and this is one of them. The Radak says, "Why yeshiv b'shamayim? Why dafka b'shamayim? Because the shamayim is there forever. The sky is there forever. So again, that's an expression of strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's b'shamayim, and he's there forever. He sits there forever." Yeah, good. Okay, Pasuk Hay. Oz yedaber eilema v'apo. Then he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will speak to them v'apo in his anger. Uvacharono yevahalemo. And with his burning anger, he will confuse them, or he will bewilder them. Thank you. Yeah, like that's right. Beholot. Oh. Yeah, the very interesting pshat here is brought by the Me'iri. Big chiddush. Yedaber, we understand, Oz yedaber eilemo, then he will speak to them. Or Rashi says he will speak about them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will speak about the nations and he'll sort them out, don't worry. You know, no fear, he'll sort them out. The Me'iri has a whole new pshat on this first phrase. Oz yedaber eilemo va'apo. Says the Me'iri, yedaber here does not mean speak. It means to kill, or to vanquish, or to conquer. And he quotes another pasuk. He doesn't quote this pasuk, he quotes another pasuk which I didn't note down, but we say just before Tekiah Shofar, we say that chapter in Tehillim where it says, Yadber Amim Tachtenu. In fact, we include that pasuk in the tefillah for Medina Sisal. Yeah. Yadber Amim Tachtenu. Ulemin Tachas Ragleinu. Yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu vanquish. He says the Me'iri, Yadaber means he will conquer. Eilemo does not mean to them, like Alehem. It means, it's an expression of Alim. Alim means strong. Like the Gemara says, Kol da Alim Gevar. Whoever is stronger, making a kinyan, machlokes about who owns an item, Kol da Alim Gevar, whoever's stronger, he'll go, let him go out and get the item and he'll make a kinyan on it. Alim means strength. Alima, strong. It's also related to the word kale, which we use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aleph Lamed, which is strength. Like we say, Nihamocha Ba'elim Hashem. So the Me'iri's got a whole new pshat in this pasuk. Oz yedaber eilemo v'apo, then he will conquer their strong ones with his anger. Huge chiddush, they're completely new pshat. Where the Ibn Ezra brings this pshat, quotes this pshat, and rejects it. I imagine he rejects it because yedaber, dalud v'esration, the pl, yedaber, means usually to speak. Whereas yadber is in the hifil, it's the same root, but it's in the hifil, and that's what it means to conquer. But this is the pshat taken by the Me'iri, then he will conquer their strong ones in his anger. V'acharoni v'alimim, with his burning anger, he will confuse them. Oh, pasuk vav. V'anin asachti malki, and I... Now, this is David speaking as though it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. V'anina sachti melki. So Hashem says, I have anointed my king, i.e. David. And I've appointed him al Tzion HaKadoshi, over Tzion, the mountain of my holiness. V'anina sachti melki. So a few things to know there. First of all, the Ibn Ezra points out, let me get this right. No, it's not the Ibn Ezra, it's the Metzudas Tzion points out that the Vav here does not mean and, va'ani nosachti, means but. The nations are all busy plotting against HaKadosh Baruch and against David, va'ani, but I have anointed my king. The Vav often means and. Sorry, the Vav usually means and, but it sometimes means but. That's right. I tell my lads in school, I say to them, anavav means and, but it sometimes means but. And I sort of, and I drum this into them, and I get them all banging on the desk. Anavav means and, but it sometimes means but. And I tell them, they bang it away on that. Yeah, it works. That's how they remember it. It works. Vanina sahti, but I... What's that?
The best way to teach.
Yeah, with a bit of fun. I write the music notation on the board of... And it both means and, but it sometimes means but. I hope that I write the music notation on the board. They really get some of it. So Vanina sahti. Another interesting thing here is that the word nasahti by itself means I have anointed. So I didn't need the word ani for. Ani means I. It's a repetition of the word I. The ani and I, nasahti, I have anointed. This happens many, many times in Tanakh, and it's always used for emphasis. The ani nasahti, Art Scroll translated it, and I myself have anointed. Adding in that word myself is a very clever translation. And I myself have anointed. You have the same thing in Yonah, Perek base, where he says, "Va'ani omerti nigrashli minegad enecho," and I myself said, "I've been driven away from before your eyes, Yonah, inside the fish." Va'ani omerti, and here you have va'ani nosachti. Va'ani svelasi. Oh, same idea. Yeah. Va'ani nosachti malkisa. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was saying, "But I've appointed my king. I've anointed him. Al tzion hakadoshi, over tzion my the mountain of my holiness." Yeah, the Meiri brings two pshatim on this phrase. Vanina sachtimalki. First pshat is, as we've said so far, it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu talking about David. Vanina sachtimalki. I have anointed my king. In other words, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is saying I've anointed David. And how on earth do these non-Jewish nations think that they stand a chance against him? That's the first pshat given by the Meiri. Second pshat is that it's not Hashem talking about David. It's David talking about Hashem. Vanina sachti malki. David saying, I've anointed HaKadosh Baruch Hu as my king. In other words, I've accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as my king. And how on earth, and the same idea, and how on earth did the non-Jewish kings and leaders think they can topple me when I've got HaKadosh Baruch Hu on my side, because after all I've accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, two pshatim, either Hashem saying, I've anointed David, or David saying, I have anointed, i.e. accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as my king. Vanina sachti malki, al tzion HaKadoshi. Pasuk Zayin, Asapra el Chok. This is a very hard expression. Asapra el Chok. Chok is a law, and again, I'll quote the article translation. Very good translation. As a statute, yeah, a law that we don't necessarily understand. So David saying, Asapra el Chok. I am obligated to proclaim. I will tell, and it's the law that I've got to say this. Asapra el Chok is the law that I should be masaper, that I should get the word around. And what's this word? That Hashem Amar Eilai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Bnei Atah, you are my son. Ani Hayom Yeliditicha, I've given birth to you today. So David's saying, I'm obligated to spread the word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has anointed me and appointed me as king. Asapra el Chok. So first thing to notice is this very, very interesting word, Chok. The Mitzvot Tzion. It's the Metzudas Tzion points out, yes, Metzudas Tzion points out, yeah, that the word chok comes from the root ches kuf kuf, which means to engrave. Chokas mechokek. Chokak is to engrave. And laws were originally engraved. Nowadays, laws are stored on word processing documents. But in the old times, a law was set in stone. That's how the word chok comes to mean a law, because it means to be engraved. I heard this years and years ago. I said from the rabbi who taught me so much Tanakh and so much Dikduk, Mr. Kai Fairstone, who's a big bucky in Tanakh. He's learned, Mamash has learned every positive in Tanakh with Mefarshim. And he taught this to me when I was in school. And it's only now that I've learnt this chapter that I found of Mekarafrit in the Rishonim, or the Mefarshim, he brings it from the Mitzvah Tzion. The chok is an expression of to engrave, which is why it means a law. Yeah. So, Asapra el Chok, I'm obligated by law to say that Hashem Amar Alam Bineyata, that Hashem said, I am, that you are my son. Now, where's this from? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to David as my son. So, the different psukim are quoted. One pasuk is quoted from Shmuel Beis chapter Zion, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to David about Shlomo, and he says, Ani Eheyelola, of, I will be to him as a father, and he will be to me as a son. So, in other words, the Malchus Beis David is referred to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a father and son relationship. That's how Pasuk here refers to David as my son. Beniato, you're my son, and I've given birth to you. Now, there's a very interesting piece of Targum on this Pasuk. Ani hayom ilititicha, I've given birth to you today, says the Targum, Ant zaka'a, you are pure or innocent, ke'ilu yomodein v'reisach, as though I have just created you today. Like a newborn baby, you're free of all averis. Ant zaka'a, you are as clean of sin as a newborn baby. That's the pshat, that's how the Targum brings it. Ani hayom ilititicha, I've given birth to you today, newborn baby. Oh, yeah. Rashi points out, what's this? Hashem amar elai bini ata. Hashem has told me that you are my son. Where did David get this message from? He got it from three particular Nevi'im who communicated with David, and they are Nosson Hanavi, God Hanavi, and Shmuel Hanavi. Those are the three. Rashi says that's where David received a lot of his Nevuas via these other Nevi'im. He heard from them. One very lovely pshat is brought by the Me'iri, Asapra El Chok. It's by law, I've got to get the word around that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to me as his son. Why Chok, says the Me'iri, as you said, because a Chok is a law that we don't understand. We haven't got a reason for it, no logic to it, like Shatnas and Basa B'Chalav, and of course the Paraduma, these are Chokim. David is saying, I can't fathom why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed me as king. I don't deserve it. I'm completely undeserving of this. It's a chok. I don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made me into the king. As far as I'm concerned, it's a chok. I don't deserve it. But that's how it is, and I've got to get the word around. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a chok, and it's beyond my comprehension. Very interesting, no? That lovely chapter in the mirror, no? Pasuk Ches. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Sha'al mimeni, ask of me, ve'et no geim nachlasecha, and I will give the nations to you as your inheritance, ba'achuzascha afse oretz, and the corners of the world, of the globe, of land, achuzascha as your possession. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, just ask of me and I'll give it all to you. So we're not frightened of these nations, we're not bothered by them. So Rashi says that Sha'al Mimeni is a reference to a tefillah before a milchama. Before David ever went out to war, of course, he davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should be successful in war. The Ibn Ezra defines this word Afsei Oretz. Lovely pshat. Afsei Oretz means the ends of the earth, the corners of the earth. Says the Ibn Ezra, also going into the etymology of the word Afsei, he says the word Efes means nothing. Oh, so, and he quotes the pasuk in Miketz, no, Vayigash, where it says, Ki ofes kosef. There was no money left after all the Egyptians had paid for all the food that Yosef had stored up. Eventually the food ran out, the money ran out, Ki ofes kosef, there was no money left. So therefore they had to sign themselves up, to turn themselves over to Avodim of the state. So Efes means nothingness. And that's Afsei Oretz, is that even parts of the globe which are so remote and almost uninhabitable, I suppose, like the polar regions, uninhabitable, that's Afsei Oretz. There's nothing there. People can't live there, and there's nothing, it's very difficult to live there. He refers to it, I quote the Ibn Ezra, Mekomos Nigzorim, Nigzorim Miyishuv, cut off from settlement, thank you. It's cut off from settlement, places where, that's why Efes, Afsei Oretz, the corners of the world where there's nothing there, no people live there. The Malbim says a nice pshat here that we have two expressions here. We have Nachala, Nachla Secha, and we have Achuza. Says the Malbim, you can have one without the other. You can have a Nachala, an inheritance, but it's miles away, it's at the other end in another country, so you can't take possession of it. It cannot become your Achuza. Achuza means you have control over it. Nachala means you've inherited it, so you might be the owner on paper, but nothing can do with it, it's miles away. So the Malbim says that's why we've got both. Nachla Secha, not only will you inherit these nations, but Achuzos, you'll also have an achiza over them, you'll also have, you'll be able to take possession and control over them. Oh, Vayeyachazuva, it's the end of Vayigash.
They started to become
that's right.
Dealers.
Yeah.
Oh. So here, so says, well, he can give you properties at the very places where nobody lives, that even that
will. That's it. Oh, you're leaving her property there. Oh, yeah.
Shalom, One of the things that
you have
to ask the
Urim
and Thummim was, should
you go to war? Ah, Sha'al, Urim and Thummim, right, we've got to ask Urim and Thummim if we go to war. Sha'al Mimeni, oh, Shkech, oh. Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's right, asking for Hatzlacha in battle. Yes, it is. FS is zero. That's it. FS. Oh. So you haven't really retired from maths. Isn't that the most interesting number, zero, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, the tapes always run out. I'm going to hop in a quick... I just add one last thing. We're speaking about Vayeyocha Zuvra. Rabbi Cooper said once, the last passage in Vayegash, where it says Vayeyocha Zuvra, it's in the Nifal. Vayeyocha Zuvra literally means that the Jews settled well in Egypt. So Rabbi Cooper once said, they were taken by the land. Vayeyocha Zu is a Nifal. They were held by the land. The land took control of them, which is a bad sign. That's how the Jews became a little bit too settled.
Continuation of Tehillim Shir, Tehillim Perek Base, Pasuk Tes. Teroim Beshevet Barzel. Teroim means you will smash them. David HaMelech is talking about smashing up the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Teroim Beshevet Barzel, you will smash them with a rod of iron. Kichli Yotzer Tanaptzein, you will shatter them. Tanapetz is to shatter them. Tanaptzein, you will shatter them. Kichli Yotzer, like a vessel of a potter. In other words, with a piece of pottery. You will smash them to pieces. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will smash up the enemies of Klal Yisrael. They're smashed into pieces. So Rashi explains that this Shevet Barzel, this Teroim B'Shevet Barzel, you'll smash them with an iron bar. That's a reference to the Cherev, the sword of war, David's wars that he fought against the various enemies of Klal Yisrael. It's a reference to the sword. And Kichli Yotzer, interesting shot is brought on that by the Ibn Ezra. Kichli Yotzer Tanapatzein, You'll shatter them like a kliotzer, like a piece of pottery that simply smashes into many different shards, many pieces. Says the Ibn Ezra, that is in direct contrast to what we learn at the very beginning of the Perek. Right at the beginning of Perek Beis, the apostle says, "Lama rog shugoyim? Why do the nations all gather together in order to discuss their plans against HaKadosh Baruch and against Klal Yisrael?" So Rog Shugoyim is the nations have all gathered together, all clubbed together. Yet here, we see the very opposite in Pasuk Tes, Kichli Yotzer Tanaptzein, you'll shatter them into a million different pieces like a piece of pottery. Pasuk Yud, V'yatzar, and now, Melochim, kings. This is David addressing the various nations of the world and the kings of those nations. Ve'ata now, Melachim, kings, haskilu, be wise, be sensible. Hivosru shofte oretz, judges of the earth, he's talking to them. O judges of the earth, hivosru, you should be disciplined. Be disciplined upon yourselves. Take care, take some discipline, get yourselves under control. And now, kings, be wise. You, judges of the earth, should be under control. You should be discipline yourselves. So Rashi explains that what we have in this pasuk is David giving Musa, giving guidance to the non-Jewish kings of the world. Now Rashi explains that what happens here is Nevi'i Yisrael, Anshei Rachamim U'Melchichim U'Mesa Olam. The Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael, they're men of Rachmanus, and U'Melchichim U'Mesa Olam, and they're even prepared to give Musa to rebuke the nations of the world. Losu Me'ra'asam, that they should turn away from their evil. Why? Sha'kodesh Baruch Hu, we take a lesson, a leaf out of our Kodesh Baruch Hu's book. Sha'kodesh Baruch Hu poshet yod l'rashoyim v'lat tzadikim, because our Kodesh Baruch Hu himself is always prepared to stretch out a welcoming hand, not just to tzadikim, but to rashoyim as well. So too, David here is addressing the nations of the earth,
and the kings of those nations and the judges of the nations in order to encourage them to do teshuvah. Get yourselves under control, hivosru and haskilu, be sensible. The targum on this pasuk translates the word haskilu. He translates the word hivosru, take yourselves under control, as kabilu mardusa. Mardusa means authority. Kabilu mardusa, accept authority upon yourselves. Don't reject authority, accept kabilu mardusa. That's how he translates hivosru. The Ibn Ezra points out that this pasuk is a direct contrast to what we have at the very beginning of the chapter. Where at the beginning of the chapter, pasuk beis, it says Yisiatu malchei eretz, the kings of the world, or kings of the land, stand together, stand firmly. Verozdim nosto yachad, and the princes all take counsel together. That's al Hashem al Mashiach, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and against his Moshiach, i.e. against David and his kingdom and his dynasty. So the Ibn Ezra points out that this pasuk is a parallel to that one. Our pasuk Yud says, "Yata malachim haskilu, malachim." The Melachim, kings, you should be sensible, be wise. And Hivosu Shoftei Oretz, says the Ibn Ezra, Shoftei Oretz is the exact parallel of the Rosnim. The Rosnim in Pasuk Beis are the princes, that's usually translated as princes, and here Shoftei Oretz is another expression for those Rosnim, for those princes. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Yira, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fear, V'Gilu Bira Oda, and rejoice with trembling. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with fear, Ivdes Hashem B'Yira, V'Gilu Bira Oda, and rejoice in trembling. Rejoice with trembling. Now there are two main derachim you can take on this pasuk. How do we understand V'Gilu Bira Oda? V'Gilu Bira Oda, rejoice in trembling. So there are two different main pshatim on these words. Rashi says, the ra'ota, the tremble is terrible, trembling, where the earth will tremble before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a pasuk, but this is foretold in a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Lamed Gimel, pasuk Yud Dalet. Rashi brings the pasuk, where the pasuk says, Pochadu b'tzion chato'im. Sinners tremble in Tzion, in Yerushalayim. Ochaza ra'ota chanefim. Chanefim are people who, what's the word, chanefus? I can't remember the dictionary definition. Chanifus is someone who reassures someone who doesn't have era that they haven't really done anything so terrible after all. He's someone who provides chanifus for someone else. Flattery, that's the word, flattery. It's bad flattery. Achazar Adam chanifim. Flatterers are gripped by this ra'odah. They'll be the ra'odah will take grip upon these chanifim, upon these flatterers. So Rashi explains, there's going to be a terrible time at some stage in the world where there's going to be this Ra'odah. This is the Ra'odah as foretold by Yeshaya. Says David, V'gilu bira'odah, if you can be a Torah observant person, if Hashem b'yira, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fear, then when the time comes for the Ra'odah, for this terrible trembling, you'll be okay. V'gilu, you will rejoice, you'll sing and dance your way through that terrible ra'odah. You'll be fine at that stage. You are a terrible ra'odah. If you are a true Oved, Ivdes Hashem B'Yira, and Haskilu, and Hivosu, you do all the good things, and you're sensible, and you get control of yourself, and you're a Baal Midas Tovis, and you're a Torah true person, then, when the ra'odah comes, V'gilu ra'odah, you will be able to rejoice through that ra'odah. That is how that is how Rashi explains the pasuk. The Ibn Ezra takes it the other way round. The Ibn Ezra says, the Ibn Ezra's pshat is the other way round. The Ibn Ezra says, V'gilu bira'odah means that even at a time of rejoicing, of gila, you should still fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu and express trembling before Hu. V'gilu bira'odah, that even when you're at a time of gila, of simcha, of great rejoicing, you should nevertheless be one who trembles before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gilu bira'odah, that even when you are rejoicing, you should still have ra'odah, you should still have a certain fear and dread of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are two opposite directions, really. We're two different ways of looking at the pasuk. Rashi knows V'gilu bira'odah, that if you're a good yid, then when the Ra'odah comes, when the trembling comes, you will have Gila, you will have cause to celebrate. Whereas the Ibn Ezra learns the other way around, you should be trembling even at a time of Gila, even at a time of celebration. And always be cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And the Ibn Ezra's Pshat is really redolent of the Gemara in Brachas, Lamed Amud Beis, the famous story where the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Perek Todas Hashach, the beginning of Perek Einon Dim Hispalo, where the Gemara gives us a story. Let's find this. Abaya have a Yosef Kami de Rabba. Abaya was sitting once before Rabba, who is his Rebbe, and his uncle, I believe, Chazye to have a Kabbadach Tuva. And Rabba noticed that Abaya was celebrating quite a lot. He was rejoicing, he was in a jolly mood, he was very happy, he was. And Rashi explains he was a bit worried. Abaya was worried that Abaya appeared to be Purik Ol, in order to throw off the yoke of Yiddishkeit and mitzvahs. In his rejoicing, he was in such a happy, jolly mood that he might forget himself and do something wrong, do something uncontrolled, or say something stupid. So Omar, so Rabba turned to Abaya and he said, how can you behave like this? V'gili bira oda kisir, he brings our pasuk, v'gili bira oda, that even when you are rejoicing, v'gilu, you should nevertheless be bira oda, you should nevertheless be trembling. So how dare you behave in this manner? Rabba giving a bit of a message, Joshua there to Abaya. Amaleis, Abaya answered, no, don't worry about me, I'm fine. Ana tefillin menachna, I'm wearing tefillin. I'm wearing tefillin right now. If I'm wearing tefillin, then I cannot see achdas from my tefillin. My tefillin will keep me in check, and I'll be well controlled by the tefillin. Rashi says, "Vehem edus." The fact that I'm wearing the tefillin, they are the testimony. Shemamsheles koni umeshoso alai, that the kingdom, the rulership, the dominion of my owner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is upon me. And I fear his presence, and I feel his presence, and I fear his presence, and the tefillin will keep me in check. I cannot be misyach das from the tefillin. So there we see how Rabba took this pasuk v'gila bira oda and used it to chastise Abaya v'gila bira oda, learning pshat in the pasuk very similarly to the way the Ibn Ezra brings pshat here v'gila bira oda. You should be trembling even at a time of gila, and therefore he was right; he might forget himself. Oh, the Targum on this pasuk, the Targum brings a slightly different pshat in Vigilu Bira Oda. The Targum translates it as V'talu Birisisa. Risisa is trembling. Talu is a lashon tefillah. Tiskabel V'talu Birisisa. You should daven with trembling. Daven with trembling. So V'talu Birisisa. So the Targum seems to translate Vigilu as an expression of tefillah. V'talu. V'talu Birisisa. When you're davening, you should be trembling before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Yud, base, last pasuk. Nash kuvar, yearn for purity. I think that's how the art scroll translated it. Yearn for purity, desire purity. Pen yet enough, lest he will be angry, lest in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will become angry. Vesov to derech, and your way will be lost. You'll explode. Vesov to derech, your way will be lost. Ki yivar, in case he become kimat apo, for his anger may burn for just a moment. That's all it'll take. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger can burn for a moment, and a person will be finished. V'so tederech ashrei kol chosevo, literally means happy are those who trust in Him. Happy are those who trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nash kuvar yearn for purity pen yenaf, lest he becomes angry. V'so tederech, and you will lose your way. Ki yivar kimat apo, for his anger may burn for just a moment. Ashikol chesavo, happy are those who trust in him. So the Rashi translates this word nashku as yearning. He quotes desiring, and he quotes Menachem, this early Baal Vidduk, whom Rashi often quotes, that it comes from the same lashon as ve'elishech tushukaseich. You will desire your husband. That was part of what Kodesh Baruch Hu was told to Chava in Parashas Bereishis. Elishech tushuka sech. Tushuka is yearning. Nashku var. Yearn for var. Var means purity. Like mitzvah Hashem bora mi'iras imoim. Bora beis reish hei, meaning pure and clear. Nashku var, yearn for purity. The Malbim on this pasuk tells us that the word bar besides meaning purity, also means grain, dogon, corn. It's an expression, v'yitzbru var, is a pasuk in Parshas Miketz. V'yitzbru var, they shall collect all the corn in it. Why is dogon, why is corn, got the same word as purity? So he says, because in order to get proper use from the grain, you need to separate the inner kernel from the chaff. And that's the act of borer. Borer, selection, purity. You're bringing out the pure from the impure, if you like, or the good kernel from the outer husk or the outer chaff, which is less useful to the human being, less useful to the person. So that is why dogon, corn, is called bar or bar, which is the same word as purity, because it requires a certain purification process of extracting the good from within the bad in order that you can make use of it. Nashkivapen, yenach v'sovtu derech, the Rashi points out that v'sovtu derech is a direct parallel from what we had right at the end of Perek Aleph. V'sovtu derech, you will lose your way, as the pasuk says at the end, Perek Aleph in Tehillim, v'derech Rishoyim t'veid, the way of Rishoyim will be lost. In other words, the path trodden by Rishon will lead to a big downfall, and that's the same Lashon here, v'sov d'derech. Rashi brings that parallel, v'sov d'derech, in our Perek being the same parallel to v'derech Rishon Tevet at the end of Perek Aleph. The Targum on Nashkuvar translates Nashkuvar as Kabilu Ulfona, accept teaching. Nashkuvar, and it's all about yearning for purity. If you yearn for true purity, then likewise you'll have a yearning to accept teaching, to learn Torah, be taught Torah by Rebbe, and so on. Kabilu ulfana, accept teaching. Now, the Rashi translates Ashe kol chesevo, which really means something like happy are those who trust in him. Rashi translates a little bit differently, and I'm quoting now, I think, from the Art Scroll, where he translates Rashi saying the praises of those who trust in him, those who trust in Kosh Baruch Hu, the praises of those people will be evident to everybody. Yehu Nikarim, Rashi says, it'll all be very clear to everybody that these are the praises of the people who trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One last thing on Nashkuvar is brought by the Malbin, by the Meiri rather. The Meiri brings up shat that the word Nashku is an expression of to kiss. Nashika is a kiss. And Var means a son. It's the Aramaic word for a son. Var, Bar Mitzvah. And he says, Nashkuvar, kiss the son. The son of, who's this son? David HaMelech is talking about himself. Because back in Pasuk Zion, he says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem Omar Eli, B'ni Ata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, you are my son. So David HaMelech is saying this Pasuk, Nashkuvar, you kings of the earth, you kings of the world, you non-Jewish kings, you should accept my Malchus, because I'm the Mashiach. Hashem, accept my Malchus, and Nashkuvar, you should be subservient to me, you should even be prepared to kiss me and to treat me as superior of you. Nashkuvar, that's the where David HaMelech speaks of himself as the Bar, having referred to as the son, having referred to himself earlier as HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to him as B'ni Atah, you are my son.